Hey, everyone, and welcome to the special episode of SNME. It's a little series that I like to call SNME Plus. There were a couple episodes throughout the year, but this is something that I want to do more and more of, especially when we have interviews. So the interview that you're going to be listening to is actually from June, early June, and it was with none other than the legendary Kevin Von Erich. And it was a great interview. It was set up by Slam Wrestling, so kudos to everyone at Slam Wrestling, including Bob Kapoor, Greg Oliver, and John Powell, for being able to set up this interview. And the purpose of this interview was actually to talk about Kevin Von Erich's one-man show, which was going to happen later on that summer. But being able to talk to someone like Kevin Von Erich was just amazing, especially because, you know, as a child, I just absolutely loved the Texas Tornado. We talk about that in this interview. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. And be sure to watch out Iron Claw, which is just so happens to be out in theaters today. It was a fun movie. You can hear what I thought about the movie in the latest episode of SNME. That's SNME episode number 311. So, without further ado, here is the interview with Kevin Von Erich. All right, so here I am with Kevin Von Erich, someone who I remember seeing clips of here and there on the internet when the internet became a thing. I was lucky enough to see Kerry Von Erich in the WWF. I'm 37 years old, so I am of that generation where I knew of the Von Erich name, but I didn't really realize the legacy that they had with world-class championship wrestling out in Texas and other territories. So, you know, there's a long-lasting appeal with the Von Erich name. Depending on the age of the fan, the Von Erich name is thought of differently. A younger fan might associate the Von Erich name with tragedy. Some older fans might associate the Von Erich name with accomplishments from world-class championship wrestling and other territories. How do you see bridging that gap so that your family legacy can get, so that we can get the full scope of the Von Erich name?
Well, thank you, Boris. Hello, everybody. I'm Kevin Von Erich. I'm Kerry's older brother. And so I'm the big brother of the Von Erichs. And it's like, Boris, I'll tell you, Kerry was, he was like a great, big, happy puppy. He was, and I don't mean this to any discouraging at all. I mean, Kerry was really, he loved people, and he was, he had a real soft heart towards children and weak people that are women or children. I mean, he was like, if he was really good at breaking the ice and making a joke about himself and get the kids laughing. I'm backstage. I mean, you know, he was just, And with the other wrestlers, we just loved him. Everybody loved Kerry. He was so funny and just a great, happy, friendly, funny guy. And I guess one thing I'm going to do is just kind of put that out there with all the excitement going on about this movie and all. I don't know what they're going to say. I don't have any idea. And I just I would want people to know what kind of a good, loving person Kerry was and not just a you know, like the drugs at the very end of his life. A man lives his whole life, and the last few years are into drugs. And, you know, Boris, it almost, it's another personality. It's just, like, terrible. It's like a possession.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so hard to watch. But, and it suffered. But, you know, he loved people and loved and did right. He was just, had a strong conscience. And so I don't like people know the truth, you know, that he was just that way.
And you know, speaking of the movie, right? Like, I've done some reading, and I noticed that, like, you know, you're not sure what you're going to see on screen, right? So that leads me to the next question is, and that's, you know, do you have any involvement at all with the Iron Claw A24 production?
No, I don't. It's scary, man, because, like, I did call the director, you know, nice guy, Sean Durkin was his name, and we've spoken a few times, and I said, you know, Sean, there's all sorts of news out there, you can take this from the YouTube And it's just crazy on YouTube. They can just say anything, and it doesn't even have to be near the truth. It's just, you could hear some of the stuff out there. One story that I would dye my feet, that we would dye our feet black, so our father would think we had wrestling boots on, and that he would hang us upside down on a wire, ankle to ankle, and make us fight up, son, and all these crazy stories. You know, it's just, people can go wild with their imaginations. But like my father was the most honorable, good man I've ever known. I admire him so much, and all the wrestlers and all the promoters did. He was president of the NWA, you know. My dad was an honorable, good man. But if you listen on YouTube and some of the wrestlers that talk on that didn't even know my dad, and talk about Fritz was like Michael Hayes, I don't know why he says Fritz was so money hungry when he was not. I mean, I love Mike, you know, but that's over the top. It might have seemed that way to some people, but the truth was, it was love first. My dad was a good man, and I just can't tolerate people saying something like that bad about him. Like, he was greedy, and he was something he wasn't. You know, I'll just stand up for him, I guess.
Of course. So do you kind of feel like, you know, because you're not really involved in the production of the movie, and, you know, your entire family life story in some shape or form is going to be on the big screen, do you kind of feel like you're left to protect the legacy, to protect the name, to ensure that people know, as you said earlier, the truth?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do, Boris. And that's... But let me tell you this. This makes me feel really good. These people that are making the movie, they rebuilt Sportatorium. They built the whole thing. Their hearts are into this. This guy, Zac Efron, my sons went out there to their set to do some stunt work, you know, some wrestling scenes in it. And so they're going to be in the movie. But as they were there shooting, my brother's Carrie's daughter Holly had also showed up down there. Sean had invited her, and so she's a really sweet girl, you know, just a beautiful little angel. And so she's there, and the actor, now see, I don't think anybody could play my dad. Maybe General Patton, maybe. I mean, but he was so he was really known for being fair and truthful. As Holly was there, she saw this that walked out, who played my dad, who's playing that, I'm sorry, don't first name, but when Holly saw him, she burst into tears. She loved my dad so much. When she saw that actor, you know, this guy is trying to look like my dad so much that when he saw Holly cry, he cried.
Wow.
And they hugged.
And that's exactly it. So it's good to hear that, you know, that your family is at least involved. And it sounds like it's A24. A24 goes out of their way to ensure that their productions are, you know, of higher quality. So I just want to move on a little bit. So, you know, for the last several years, many years, Hawaii was home for you. But I saw that you've recently moved back to Texas. So what inspired the move?
Well, bud, actually, we haven't made the move yet. I'm still in Kauai. But I did find a ranch at Sisterdale, Texas. It's just north of Bernie, and I've always loved that area. You know, I traveled all through Texas, and probably not a word I hadn't been on twice. But you know, I wrestled for over 20 years, and you know, I did a lot of traveling. I don't mean just in America either. I mean, it was like, you know, grueling. But I always remembered my Texas, and it was beautiful that down there in the hill country, they have a lot of springs, natural springs that just come out and break into the river, you know, crystal clear water, fish, you know. I just love, you know, to nature, spearfish. I just love it down there. And so we haven't bought the place. Well, I'm going to do we actually have bought it. I'm going to sign the papers on the 8th of June, and I'll go to Texas then. But, yeah, it looks like that's when we're going to move down, about mid-June. And now, we're not going to sell this place, though, Boris. We love it out here, and it's just beautiful what God's given us. I have so much love that my grandchildren, I play with them every day, and thank God I have the time that I can, you know, spend with them, because it's just heaven out here, just beautiful. I've never been happier. But I do have granddaughters who are growing up now. You know, I've been out here 20 years. And my granddaughters are getting to that age where boys are, you know, more than just playmates. And so I want them to be able to choose from a big bunch of people. There are only 70,000 people on the whole island here, you know. And I just want them to have the choices that a young darling should have. A young girl should be able to. And you know, I came out here when I was really hurt. You know, I rejuvenate in the ocean, I think. You know, every time I came back from the ocean, I felt like I was so healthy. I glowed in the dark, you know. So I knew that this Hawaii would restore me. And, man, I just feel great. You know, I'm 66 years old, but I do feel great. And we're not going to sell this place. We're just going to have two places.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's always good having options of what you call home and where you call home. So do you think that, you know, as you slowly move back to Texas, you think that the memories of the past are going to be coming back, both good and bad?
No. I don't. Boris, I belong to God. I don't want to sound, you know, beating anybody over the head. And I know, and when I say that, of course, I had to know, you know, I'm not the kind of guy that is a Christian because my parents were, or, you know, somebody led me. No man leads me. I have to know on my own. As far as the memory, since I've come out here, I've just been saturated and drenched in love. I mean, we all live together on our 27 acres here, and it's like we have, everyone's got their own house, and we just live together like the on this mountaintop. You know, I mean, we're farmers here in Kauai, up in the mountains, like sheep and tilapia and turkeys and chickens and turkeys and ducks. Everybody's got chickens.
And it just sounds like you're at peace. You just sound so rejuvenated, at peace. You know, you know exactly your place. You know your place in this world, and it's so great to hear how happy you sound.
Well, Boris, you know, it's like it was my version of happiness. So, because for me, spearing my own fish and catching lobsters and under the reef, you know, and it's just diving off cliffs and this is a perfect life to me. I had to guess it would be a perfect life to my children and grandchildren, you know. And now that they've been born here, it's, you know, they've never seen a squirrel. We don't have any mammals here, really, or a bat, you know. but, you know, we're known for our birds and our fish, but there's really, the kids have never seen snow. They've never, you know, and it's just, I want them to see the world and not just, you know, this, you know, it can sound like heaven to me, but to someone who's born here, you know, there are a lot of people that live here that really want to see the world and don't want to, you know, only live in Kauai. I busted my butt to get out here, but there are kids here that, you know, can't wait to get away. You know, so it's my version of happiness, and someone else's can be different.
That's exactly it, right? Like the saying goes, the grass is always greener on the other side, and happiness is really what you make of it. So, you know, you've done a lot of traveling. Your family has done a lot of traveling. And right before I hit record, you were telling me a story that I needed to get on tape, and that's the fact that you were almost born Canadian.
Yeah. Well, you know, my father was the greatest wrestler ever to live. I'll just say that right out. Fritz Von Erich. He was well known up in Canada too. A lot of people know that. I just, and I'm his son, so I may be partial, but my parents were on the road and my mother was 9 months pregnant, and I just happened to be born in St. Louis. If I'd have just been born a few days late, we would have been in Toronto. I'd have dual citizenship.
So talk to me about World Class Championship Wrestling. What was your typical wrestler that you looked for that territory?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were just, our style was so vicious so we just recruited really good athletes. We had the Freebirds, we had Chris Adams and Gino, and matches that were just like, you know, different. Or I think a cut above. I really do think so. And I thought that it was just a chance that we might even start that, maybe start that back up with my own sons, even teach that style. And most of the wrestlers that are up with WWE now, you know, some of the big stars, Undertaker and Austin and all those guys, they came from world class, you know, and scrapping on that mat with us, you know. And it was a different, it was a really more hostile, aggressive style of wrestling, in defensive wrestling, but it was, the people loved to watch it. And so when the TV ratings, they kind of were directing us. And I think that's a good way to be directed too, because it was just, the show, the ratings got higher and higher and higher, you know. So, and then we have the disasters and all, but, you know, before that, we were really on our way. So we think we might even, I might even start a wrestling school. I'm talking about it. My sons are talking about it. Sean, boys, I'm too old. You know, I'm not going to, well, I can still wrestle. I'm not too old. But I mean, my sons, you know, are fit now, and there just might be a demand. You don't know what I mean. You watch our world-class style. I think just, tell us what you think.
Let's talk about Marshall and Ross. The last time that we saw them, they were in MLW wrapping things up. Are they active on the indies right now?
Oh yeah, well, we live out here. Yeah, we're out here on the on this mountaintop, but and they've decided to, you know, they were offered, you know, spots and with the companies, but my son stayed with me. I've been through a lot of tragedy, you know, and it's just, I'm so proud of them. You'll see what I'm talking about if you haven't seen them, because they've been with a company, a wrestling company. They've had a contract with. It's kind of a fusion type wrestling. They got the Lucha Libre style and the crazy stuff with the kids breaking light bulbs over their heads and barbed wire and broken glass and stuff like that. But their contracts are up today. As a matter of fact, June 1st, Ross's birthday, we were waiting for this day. Their contracts are up, so they're kind of free agents now. And so we'll see. But I really have been entertaining that thought, Boris, about a wrestling school out there. We're getting Bernie because we're in the wide open again, a great big old barn I could, you know, kind of fix up. And, you know, it's a ranch. And so we just might do that. I'm just playing with it. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. We're just playing with the idea, you know?
Of course. Of course. Oh, no, that would be great. You know, get that old style back up and running, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I mean. I really do. And you know, if the thing did go well in Texas, then what better place to have another one here in Kauai? We're midway between the States and Japan, and you know, the boys are all wrestled in Japan over and over, and so did I. And so it would be like kind of a finishing school, kind of like, and there's a different style in Japan too, so we could kind of ease wrestlers into that. So who knows, boys, could be a really good deal.
The sky's the limit, really, right? The sky is the limit there. So, you know, you're just coming off a successful leg of your one-man show, Stories from the Top Rope. You have a second leg starting up in September again. Can you tell me how this came about?
Well, yeah, it was that movie, you know, the movie coming out, kind of. I guess that was it. There was some renewed interest there, I guess. But the reason I said I would do it is because of my, namely because of my dad and brother, Kerry. You know, I don't want their name to be smeared. They don't deserve it. My dad especially is honorable and a good man that loved the truth and told it. And, you know, I can only say good things about him. And that was it. That is it, Boris. I just couldn't stand for that. You know, my dad, and if you turn on YouTube, everybody wants to believe that he made us wrestle and made us do this and that, when nothing be farther from the truth. Everything, all of our screw ups we brought on ourselves, you know, and so it's not my dad's fault. He was a good man. I just want the world to know that, you know.
And then, yeah, I totally understand that. I totally understand it. It's controlling your narrative, controlling your family's legacy, exactly what we were talking about earlier. So that's great. It's great because, you know, it's very rare that you have speaking engagements, right? Until this, it's been, what, 20 years since you really spoke out with crowds?
Yeah, it has. I have been on this mountaintop out here, and it's just... So we do. Well, you know, I did go to Israel. You know, I love Israel, and I've got, I've been going over there for years now. And I had my retirement match over there, and I donated the belt, or, you know, not donated it, but I left it to a big shopping center over there. I just love those people. I tell you, Boris, when you travel, you see it in children's faces in Africa. Those kids have got this light that just shines. With a smile, it's a smile that you just can't help but laugh and smile yourself. It's beautiful. And you don't see many places that have really joyful, jubilant children as you do in Israel and in Africa. And yeah, you see it. You see it in the country, but you don't really see it in cities anymore. You see it with a lot of, believe it or not, it seems like the poorer the countries, the happier the children. And then just, I don't know. Thank you, Lord. I hope that's true, but the little kids always find a way to stay happy. Just play each other, you know, yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally, I can relate to that, because like anytime I go back home to El Salvador, I see that, right? It's just, there's that innocence in the children, and they're just so happy to just be alive, yeah. Right? Like and I love to see that, because it really puts your own life into perspective, makes you look inwards into your own life, so that you can maybe, hopefully, one day find that inner peace.
That's so true, man. I was just telling my wife about the other night, it's like, you know, God tells us to love each other. It's more important to love. It's a great commandment to put each other before ourselves. And it's hard, especially when you see a lot of people, you know, travel. But when you can look into someone's eyes and see the little child there, a little boy there, or the little girl there, then you can love them. And it's easy, you know. But, I mean, that for me, that's what makes it the eyes, you know, that joyful, dancing eyes. Full of life, you know, hope. Beautiful.
It's a great reminder that, you know, the world is the world. The world isn't perfect, and there's still some legitimately good things in this world. Some beautiful things,
man,
in this world.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Let's put that word out. Everybody's harping on the bad, but I see good all the time. Yeah, I've been kind of on this mountain out here for 20 years, but I see people that after hurricanes, after floods, people help each other, and it's not as much as it was before, but when I see a car pulled over and my son's helping somebody, man, my heart just jumps out of my chest, you know, and then other people helping others, you know, a tourist breaks down and local helps them, you know, what a good feeling. And yeah, there is good in the world. Let's not. And, you know, when you say things, you can speak life or doom into them, you know, so you should keep your words positive and loving, you know.
That's exactly it, right? Like, it's so hard sometimes. It's so hard. But, you know, I just find that the more positive you speak, the more positive comes your way. And, you know, that's honestly how I'm trying to live my life moving forward. Having the opportunity to speak to people who I've, you know, watched growing up on television, like yourself, like your brother, you know, to me, these experiences put a huge smile on my face, because it does give me that opportunity to say, you know what, there is some great things in the world. Sharing stories with you right now, you know, it's going to be something I'll be telling people for years to come.
Well, you're a cool guy, man. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you so much. And, you know, just taking a step right back into the business of stuff, one of my listeners wanted me to ask you, in terms of your career, what's the match that you hold in the highest regard?
Oh, man, you know, if you believe it or not, Boris, after doing so many years, you forget so many matches. And so only the ones on TV are the ones I remember now, really. It's like thousands and thousands of matches. You know, I wrestled, you know, constantly for 20 years, and then my retirement match in Israel was, what, 2017? You know, so that's a long career. Oh, man, I remember wrestling Billy Robinson. He's a really well-known wrestler from the Orient and England and that style, South Africa and, you know, Pakistan. He's a worldwide guy, and we just had a great match. It was a technical match, you know. Oh, it's on YouTube too. I watched it, and I thought, man, I'm proud of that one. But I'll tell you what, I'm proud of. I had a, you know, in wrestling, you get mad at each other every now and then, and sometimes we fight. We're men, you know, and that's how we settle things, you know. Most wrestlers are ex-bullies from school too, you know, and so it's not hard to get pissed off at them and throw a punch every now and then, and that happens. And anyway, Buzz Sawyer was like that, Matt Bourne was like that, and Rick Rude was like that. All guys that we fought, but we wound up, you know, being like blood brothers afterward, you know. And, you know, have you ever noticed that back, you know, the times have changed, but I remember when I was a little boy, the school bully, you know, picking on the other little boys. And I'm glad to say, Boris, that I'm not cut that way, that I punched him in the face in second grade it was. And the teacher, and he cried and told the teacher on me, you know, but he hit me first, you know. And so the teacher said, well, Rodney, that's what you get for being a bully. And it turned out he'd been picking on all the kids in the class. And so I wondered, how did those guys make it? Did they ever stick up for themselves? You know, it's important for a little boy to stick up for themselves. And I know they say now that little boys, if you're picked on in school, then you tell the policeman or you tell the teacher. Well, I said, punch the guy in the nose. So whatever he did to you, do to him. And that's a line that the little boy draws, that I think a little boy needs that, you know. And I think they're trying to squelch that in boys now. And you know, I wanted to help on the anti-bullying campaign and all with the other wrestlers, but they didn't like what I had to say because I said, bite back. And so they wanted to follow that narrative, you know.
No, that's how my mom brought me up. I remember once a bully was pushing me around and she got mad at me saying, you have to fight back. I'm not always going to be there. You have to defend yourself. So that's exactly what I did. Actually, this is why I love telling stories. Because what happened was, so I'm having, you know, I'm outside with my brother. All the neighborhood kids would get together and play baseball or soccer, or one of those sports. And this kid was bullying me again, his same kid from the neighborhood. And not even my older brother would defend me because, you know, you have to stand up for yourself. So I remember, courtesy of watching your brother, Kerry Von Erich, on TV, I did the claw on this boy's face.
All right. Way to go, boys. Well, did you not know what to do? Did you feel kind of like naked at first? I mean, it takes balls, you know. I mean, you have to step up. But it is important for a boy. I mean, you know it. It's true. Every guy out there that's hearing us knows it's true.
Agreed 100%. So going back to the one-man show, what can one expect from your one-man show? Like, obviously, you're going to be talking about your family. You're going to be, you know, telling the truth about your dad. Are we going to be hearing stories of the past, stories of the family?
I'm glad you asked that, Boris, because I didn't mention that David Manning is also going to be with the show, and he was a referee from back then, and David has got a gift at remembering these stories. And they're so funny, too. I mean, and I forget so many of them, but with David there, they just come pouring out. So that'll be great. And then another guy that's part of the show is Dale Hansen, who's like a legend in the sports casting world. You know, he's kind of controversial, but you can tell his heart's in it, you know, and I think it's going to be a good, I don't know him, I've never met him, but I think it's going to, well, yeah, I have met him, but, you know, shake his hand in golf tournaments and things like that, but don't really know him, so I think we're going to get on real well, though. So I think that's going to make it. He's an old pro, and then David with his stories, and then with me and my, you know, my way, they'll make me tolerable, and we'll get through it. I'm not really dreading it.
I love that.
I'm not really dreading it. Maybe I should be, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
It's great to hear. It's great to hear again, right? Because a lot of people might assume this person, you know, Kevin Von Erich, has gone through so much. He's in Hawaii. He doesn't want anything to do with the world. There's a lot of narratives that people can put up, right? So I'm happy to hear that, number one, you are as happy can be. You have inner peace. And you're telling your story and your family's story.
Well, yeah, God has lifted me up. And I'm out, you know, let me just say, prayer works. You know, you ask in Jesus' name, and it comes about. I mean, here I am. I've been so peaceful and happy out here. I couldn't ask for better. But it's for a season. You know, I came out here to heal, and I did. And I raised my children in the ocean and nature and the mountains and the waterfalls and eating natural food. You know, we grow, or, you know, we have sheep and fresh meat and good vegetables and, oh, so many fruits. I grow so many different kinds of avocado and and egg fruit and breadfruit, and it's just a health. It's really been healthy. I mean,
that's awesome. It's both health. It sounds like it's just been a break, a healthy 20 years, both mentally and physically. And that's just another beautiful thing right there, that I absolutely love. So right before I let you go, the last question I want to ask you is, you know, if what do you want the Von Erich legacy to be?
Oh man, I just like for people to know that it's a hard task to try to be a role model. It's like you don't want to let your fans down, you know, and when you get caught doing something that's terrible, it happens, you know, and when you get caught with even speeding, it's going to be in the news, you know, and you caught it with Kerry, he had in his pocket, those were dissolved aspirin that he had in his, they'd gotten wet, you know, and but they left it a speculation, a white powder. Now, Kerry did get into cocaine, but it was years later. But, you know, it's just indicative of how a rumor can just start a range fire. When it's, there's so much pressure on you to try to not let the kids down. Little kids are watching you, and you know it's important. You try to say yes, sir, and no, sir, when you're on the microphone, and respectful to your to adults and parents, but let me tell you, it is tough, and it goes on forever, and the media loves to put you on that mountain, but they love to watch you fall off it even more. So it's like two-edged sword, you know. You can accomplish a good work, but it's going to be like a human is, mixed with failure and doubt and weakness, because we're men. And then we try to accomplish a perfect task, and love each other and do our best. And following God is what I've found to be the formula for success. I mean, prayer works. God's lifted me away, and I've never been so happy. But life goes on, and I'm looking for, and I'll be happier every day. I get happier every day. And so I just want to say thank you, folks, for watching me and for loving me. And believe it or not, I love you too. If we meet, then we'll shake hands and say, I'm glad I could entertain you. It was fun.
And there you go. That was honestly such a great time. And I should have said this at the start. I do apologize for some of the quality throughout the interview. But it is of note that this interview was done via Kevin Von Erich's PR people. And Kevin Von Erich called me on my phone, which I had perfect connection. But he was calling in his ranch in the middle of the mountains in Hawaii. So we got disconnected a couple times, and he apologized so much after the interview about the quality. But honestly, it turned out real great. So just remember to watch The Iron Claw, where you can kind of see a part of the story of the Von Erichs, a retelling of the story of the Von Erichs. And it was a very fun movie. So again, thank you so much to everyone over at Slam Wrestling, slamwrestling.net, for being able to set this interview up. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. And just remember that this coming weekend, you are going to be getting the best of 2023 with the extended SNME roundtable, and it's going to be a very fun time. Remember that you can listen to all of our shows over at snmeradio.com. You can sign up and on your favorite podcast catcher. All you need to do is go to your favorite podcast app or podcast catcher and do a search for Sunday Night's Main Event. Hit subscribe, leave a review. We are also on YouTube. You can just search for SNME Radio. Sunday Night's Main Event Radio, and be sure to, again, subscribe, leave a review. All of it helps us so much. And in the new year, we're going to be changing things up a little bit. I'm going to be relaunching the Patreon. More info to come over the next few weeks on that. And again, thank you so much for listening. I honestly appreciate each and every single one of you and one of your listens. It means so much that you take the time out of your day to listen to us yap. So thank you so much.
Thank you for everything. Stay safe. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And remember, stay tranquilo.